So this morning, I want to speak to and honor and bless all men, all dads. It doesn't matter if you're a biological dad or a spiritual dad and what age you are. But also, I don't want to preach a message that's going to make you feel good today because you're a dad. Your family's going to do that for you, trusting. I want to do what I normally do to myself. I want to challenge you this morning. I want us as men, I mean, what we saw a little bit of this morning here was a bit of unnormal church, you know, AB normal church, and lifting things up a little bit and challenging us to go higher in God and step forward and step into everything that God has for us. We know that God is he's God, he's sovereign, he can do what he likes. He is a creator, he is the creator, he is the king, and he is the redeemer, but first and foremost, he is a father. And we listen to the language of a father in Psalm 103, verse 8. So dads, take this for yourself as well. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. That's a very good thing. He does not deal with us according to our sins. You should be bouncing off your seats by now. Nor repay us according to our iniquities. Isn't that so cool? No, God's going to punish. No, he's not going to punish you. He is not a father who punishes us. We sometimes feel we're being punished, but we know he's not punishing us. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Someone prayed that this morning. As the father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And that's not fear as in trembling fear, but as in respectful and honor. This psalm is a hymn of praise celebrating the Lord's abundant love towards us and his goodness and his love for us. As each father loves his children, or those, whether they are biological or heart children or spiritual children, whatever way you want to put it, as he loves us, so we love them. He disciplines us and brings order to our lives, but he doesn't punish us. Paul, great apostle Paul, writing as a father, 1 Thessalonians 2:11, "For you know how like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you, encouraged you, and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." That's uplifting and calling us higher as children. And I hope I do that today. Dads, I want to say you are a vital cog in the development and the growth of your children. You are not just meant to go to work 9 to 5 and come home and be some grumpy old dude who comes home because he's had a hard day at work. And some of you do. I know the world says mom's job is a hard job. And it is, trust me. I don't take anything away from that. But I also say that job's dead. Dads, the world today needs frontline warriors. It needs warriors to. And when we stood up here as a corporate togetherness of men, you've heard me say this before, real men sing loud. And we're unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we sing loud and we with gusto. And I could see the response from the woman out there. If you were paying attention, there were lots of tears there this morning and joy. Because that's what happens when men take their place. The wives and the children feel safe. Our job is to make our wives and our children feel safe. You have to understand how important your role is, dads. There are biblical mandates which you might not agree with me. That's okay. We can crystal box with you afterwards. But if God planned it that way to bring a spiritual order to our lives, dads, best we get on with it and get into the program and sign up. If you've ever heard me preach on fathers, and those of you who have got good memories will remember this. If not, then hey, well, here's news for you again. Two of the greatest authors, I think, on men are Stu Weber and John Eldridge. Stu Weber says this, "When a father is an active believer, there is about a 75%, not just a believer, an active believer. There's a 75% likelihood that the children will also become active believers. But if only the mother is a believer, this likelihood is reduced to 15%. It's got to tell us something. Stu Weber in his book, Tender Warrior. John Eldridge in his book, Wild at Heart, says, the central truth of a boy's journey to manhood, masculinity is bestowed. A boy who learns who he is and what he gets from a man or the company of men, he cannot learn it any other place. Fathers and sons, he cannot learn it from other boys, and he cannot learn it from the world of women. Now, moms have a very vital role. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. Moms have a very, but there comes a stage in a boy's life that mommy needs to cut the apron strings and let go. In Africa, there's a tribe in the Central Africa somewhere, and when a boy gets to 12 or 13, the tribesmen all stand outside. And if you understand, they all have low doorways in their huts so that the guy coming to attack the family has to bend down to get in, and they wait inside, and then they, as we would say in Zulu, they gwaze him, they stab him before he gets in to attack the family. And then what happens is the mama stands in the doorway, and she blocks the doorway, and the men call the young boy to come out. And she stands and she cries and she weeps and she doesn't want her little baby boy to grow up. And he has to fight his way past his mommy to go and join the men of the tribe. And they, however long it takes and however long mommy stands, it's how long it'll take. But they call this young man to come and join them. And that's part of our heart here at Frontline. I'm calling all men. Do not forsake this gift that God has given us. Come out to Frontline and bring your sons 12 and upwards to it. So what is Dad's Frontline status? Number one, Dad, you've got to get excited. You've got to get excited that you're the leader and you need to help your family understand you're not the boss. Let me. Is this echoing aloud or am I shouting? I'm just excited, okay? Because I can't say, Dad's, get excited, eh? No, dads, we've got to get excited about being dad. You're the team leader. Are you happy to be part of the family and you're not just an added appendage that adds something to this family? No, well, I got to go to work and I just got to go and then I come home and I'm a... Hot tip, this is like a parenting seminar all of a sudden. Moms, when your dads come home, and kids, when your dads come home from work, don't rush at them with every horror of the day. Let him go, come home, take off his attire, put his comfy clothes on, let him sit down, have a cup of coffee or tea or whatever his pleasure is. Let him relax. Let the tensions of the work run away. And then the washing machine is broken and Johnny broke the window. Let him just relax first. Get excited to be leading the family. It's a huge privilege. Not because I say so, but because God says so. Let them know that you are there. You are the rock solid foundation of that family. Earthquakes around, Dad is standing strong. Let them know that you have no problem in leading God's way. Number two, Dad's frontline privileges. Be a radical dad. That means to be sometimes a little crazy. You can ask my family. A little bit crazy sometimes. If you've been to frontline meetings, you'll probably hear me ask this question a few times. I'm going to ask them again because who sets the spiritual tone in your home? How often is laughter heard in your house that is initiated by you? Dad, who rallies the family to the gathering of the believers? No, wife, you go to church. I'm going to stay home and do something else. Who says, and that's when I wanted to bring my sword, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I only can ask you these questions because I've asked and answered them of myself. Who is usually out of step with what the elders are trying to do? Who has to be dragged reluctantly to apostolic participation in the life of the church and kingdom? Now, wife, you go. You've got enough religion for both of us. At service times, I'm not looking. Who takes out their notebooks and Bibles? You or your wife. Don't be shy to do something out the box. Take your family by surprise. It's getting quieter and quieter in here. Am I hitting some points? If you feel like jumping up and going, yes, amen, glory be, hallelujah. Number three, dad the initiator. Sometimes dad at home, you're the terminator. We don't want to be the terminator. We want to be dads who are the initiators. Consider the big picture of what you are meant to be doing. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Sometimes in Scripture, we don't like the ifs. We just like, well, it's all about me, and it'll just happen anyway, because God is so good. Yeah. My friend Peter Brown says this, as men, we have ordained privilege from God as the initiators. There is therefore no more unmasculine behavior than passivity and the refusal to walk boldly into the future that God has ordained for you. I'm not like that. Well, how are you? You're a warrior for the king. I'm challenging you guys. As the initiator, we have the privilege. It's a privilege of being like icebreakers. We forge ahead and cut a path in this wilderness. We create a wake for our families to follow us. Amen. The men should be going amen by now, at least. If you're not, then I'm worried about you. Our wife, here's a stat that some of you don't believe, psychologically. Our wives and children have a deep yearning and longing for men to lead. It's the true, hashtag true story. Oh, it is. It's because it's inbuilt in us to do this, and believe it or not, it's inbuilt in them for them to follow us. I've often said, I have no issue with strong women. My issue is with weak men. There we go. Now we're getting there. And we do this with passion. Am I displaying enough passion this morning? Passion is the ability to feel there's something worth living and dying for. Oh, this family of mine. You are so blessed to have this family of mine. I can speak for me. I am, and I'm not unashamed to declare it. My daughter still writes the best Father's Day and birthday cards. And you should, daughters and fathers, you should all be saying the same thing. Passion is the, for those working, well, look, not that I don't work, but passion is the thing that gets you up and out of bed and at it to work. Because remember, well, you don't, but I'm going to remind you. I preached a message one, thank goodness it's Monday. Not thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Monday. Because we should be up and at it. I'm so excited to go to this job that the Lord is giving. Because I'm going to get somebody saved today. I'm going to preach the gospel today. I'm going to be an initiator in my company today. Passion is the thing that makes me want to rewrite my personal records and break new barriers. That's what Dom was all about today. That's what he felt the Lord telling for today. The promises that we've got, those are great, but there's more promises for us to walk into. We can't sit on our blessed assurance and think they're going to happen by osmosis. We've got to get into the fight. There we go. I don't know. I'm just having fun. Passion is not only just a male privilege. It is the biblical equivalent of the wild man. Some of you need to get that wild man stare in your eye again. You've lost it. Huh? What did he just say? Going to church can be so gobsmackingly tame and banal, or banal, however you want to say it. We are called to advance the kingdom. As a soldier, a warrior for the king, real men sing loud. We're not ashamed when we sing. Well, I don't have a good voice. Well, Chris keeps reminding me, neither do I. Do you think that steps me back? Do you think that stops me? You love the sound of it. There we go. It's just, I know, so off key a little bit every now and then. Well, mostly, or whatever. Who cares? I don't. It's for the king. I loved it when I heard, because I did stop for a moment when I saw my wife tearing up. Here's the thing. When my wife tears up, then it's like what's the stun gun inside of me? So I can't look at it. I got to look somewhere else. So I stopped for a while, and I heard this roar of men around me. Come on, guys. This is it. We're not in Dad's army now. We're in the king's army. We're serving the king. We're on the front line. If you don't know that you're in a war, let me help you. Men, women, children, kids, families, we are in a war. Are you warring for your neighbors? Are you warring for your families? Are you warring for your wives and your children? I'm trying. I'm getting there. Where are you? Remind yourself about this. Lead yourself. Lead your wife into the big picture of what you're doing and why you're doing it. Come on, babes. This is what we're about. This is what the king's message is. This is what the kingdom says. We're on a mission, a mandate, and all that lovely M words that we preached about. It's your husband's job to bring the woman out of the trenches and give them the game plan. Nothing worse than woman having a game plan and the husband's going, what's going on here? The bullets are coming at you. Funny story. I might have told you this. I don't know. When we did Church Planters, Ashley Bell, we were in Ashley's thing and he came and he gave us three pictures. One was of a leopard and he had these amazing blue, sapphire blue eyes in the dark. And he says, this is what the leader's like, the church leader's like. He sees everything in the dark. So then he showed us a picture of another leopard sleeping in a tree. He says, this is what your elders are like. You can see the spit running down your hair all like that. You arrive at church. Hey? Not our elders, of course. And then he had a picture of a leopard cub, pup, kitten, cub, whatever. But you know, their eyes are just that open, but you see they were like so unfocused. He says, and this is what you church planters are like. You don't plant. He says, you won't even see the bullet coming. And sometimes, men, you live like that. Yeah. I'm joking with you all, but I'm serious. Where are we? Dragging her out of the, bringing her out of the trenches, showing her the battle plan. Include her skills. Realize she's your partner, not the enemy. Listen to her. Yeah. Women are responding 80% better than the men are. Men, stand up and influence the game. Church these days has become so feminized that the men have lost their backbones. I'm calling us higher up. And the fact that when we said men come up and you all came up tells me something. A good thing. Well done, guys. Don't come to church and think, well, I've got it all planned out. We know exactly what's going to happen because you just never know. Dads, number four, dads on alert. There is an attack today on God's mandate and fathers. Do you get this? Or you just, I'm out of the game. This attack can be best described in a true story. Hashtag true story. In the United States, they got to Mother's Day and they decided to get a whole bunch of cards. They took it to the male prison or prisons, and they said to the men in the prisons, why don't you write your mothers a happy Mother's Day card? They had such a great demand, they had to order in thousands of more cards to fulfill it. And so the guys wrote, Mommy, I miss you. I'm not supposed to be here, and wasn't my fault. And love you, Mommy. And so then they got an idea and they thought, man, why did we do this for Father's Day? So they ordered truckloads of cards. Nothing happened. Fatherless nations rising up, and it's quite scary that when we see it. 70% of all juveniles in state reform schools come from fatherless homes. Let that thing wash over you for a while. Dads, fathers, don't buy into the current trend to regard fatherhood and maleness as a redundant thing. The tactic of the enemy has been around for ages and ages and ages. You know, in the scriptures, there's a woman called Jezebel. And every time you hear that word and that came up, Jezebel, everybody, ooh, Jezebel. You know why there was a Jezebel? Because there was an Ahab. Every time there's a Jezebel, there's always an Ahab. That's why I say I'm not afraid of strong women. It's the Ahabs that worry me. So I'm going to leave for you to figure that one out yourselves. Number five, Dad the Builder. Matthew 7:24-27. Build on the rock, not on the sand. The rock is Jesus Christ. It's far easier, listen to this, to build strong children than it is to repair broken men and women. Let me just say that again for you. It is far easier to build strong children than it is to repair broken men and women. Dad, you are building people. You're not building your empire. Dare I say, you're not building your career. That's a byproduct. Great to do that. But you're building for the kingdom and not your empire. Second thing, dad's frontline training, because we all need some frontline training. Number one, dads, build trust. We don't measure time with quality and quantity. We measure it by relationships. You know, spend quality time with your kids. Yeah, that's good. But you know, some dads, quality time means I'm with the kids and I'm on my phone and I'm texting and doing stuff. And no. Build a relationship. The currency of relationship is measured in trust and loyalty. Big question kids always ask, can I trust you, Daddy? They might not verbalize it, but I'm telling you, it's in their hearts. If you make promises and you break promises, I'll fetch you after school and we'll go and have an ice cream. And then the kid gets somebody else, or the mother comes and picks the kid up and, well, what happened? No, Daddy got too busy, he couldn't come. Keep your promises, dads. Number two, be the encourager of the family. How many times I had to challenge, this is, you think that I've got all this sorted out? I haven't, because as I was sharing with Bridget and Lou this morning when they gave me my Father's Day present, just saying that I said, you know, the message I got this morning, I've had to like reread some of the stuff and go, are you doing this, Mark? Anyway, don't put your hands up if you're a kid. How would you like a letter from your dad or a note from your dad? Mom is a good encourager, but do you know that encouragement is dad's primary job? Keep you safe. Dads, write the birthday cards or help write them. Write a letter to your children, write them notes. Dads, hug your children. Well, I'm not that kind. No, they need it. It's not about you. It's about them. Hug your children. Kiss your boys. Yeah. Kiss your boys. Listen carefully, dads. Help explain the intricacies of womanhood when your daughter gets to the age where she steps through that door. I'm going to tell you why. Go with her to buy her first bra. Chris says, you're not going to say that in church, are you? I said, no, I am. Yeah. If you have a daughter who's past that age, I want to tell you, go take her home today and go and bless her womanhood. Pray over her. Lay hands on her. Because society has taught us that when it comes to that piece of a woman, the men go, yeah, no, thank you, mommy, you, this is your job. What is the message you're sending to your daughter? She is blossoming into her womanhood, and you go, ooh, no. I'm not going to go with her and Barbara. Now, we learned this lesson way past Louise's time. So what we did is we went and took her and brought her with her to buy her a bra. I missed that. This is called being part of the apostolic family. And we took her home and we laid hands on her and we prayed for her and we blessed her womanhood. I know you're laughing now because you're all embarrassed. I'm not. Well, Louise is embarrassed. Okay, let's go to number three. I guess my Father's Day lunch is now done. Develop a family identity. Did you get that one? Peer pressure is only as strong as family identity is weak. Peer pressure is only as strong as family identity is weak. If your kids do not know their identity in Christ when they go to school and varsity and college and step out into the real world, as my dad told me, they will fail. We've got to set them up for success. Don't make belonging to the family an optional extra. Children are going to hate me for this one. Give children the opportunity to invest in the family. Don't give them pocket money for chores done. That's manipulation. They're not your servants. They're not employers of the family. They are a vital part of the family connection. Sorry to the kids, but we need to foster interdependence, not independence from our children. Where are your family values coming from? Well, I read this book written by some guy who doesn't know what he's talking about, but I thought it sounded good. Number four, tell them why. When I was growing up, it had to be good enough. I'm your father, or I'm your mother, and do as I say. Today's society doesn't really function like that. Well, even, can I use you again, please, Lou? It wasn't helpful when we just said to Louise, just do it. She wanted to know why. Why should I do this? Why should I do this? I had to be patient and go, Lou, we're telling you that you can't do this because it's not good for you. Oh, yeah. Don't just give away. Authority and faith work hand in hand. Give them authority and responsibility in the family. If you want children to have faith, teach them to respect authority. I love it where the moms are all yaying and this is the father's message. Dad's going, this is starting to sound like hard work for me. Yeah, it is. You're the dad. Step up. I love the story of the centurion when he says, for myself, I'm a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one to go and he goes and the one come and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Doesn't matter where you go in life, there are always authority levels. If you can just help me understand where you live and what you do that there aren't any authority levels, I'd like to hear it for you. Number five, dads, axe the ego. Admit your mistakes. This is a huge one for dads. I know sometimes. Just say you're sorry. The words can't come out. Why? Because you have to axe the ego. Let the ego get out of the way of your fathering. You are not in a competition with your wife or your children. You know, sometimes we see people trying to argue with a child who's like four. Why? Anyway. Number six, give them freedom to fail. Failure should lead to success, not to rejection. You know, if you got six A's in a row and then you got a B, it is not the end of the world. I know some of you parents, you think it's the end of the world. It's not. Champion your kid Call them higher. Help them. Get them to go. You know, I was the king of D's. Yeah. My wife says, dumb, dick, and difficult. Which means in English, dumb, thick, and stupid. I loved school. I used to go surfing often. Anyway, where am I? Give them freedom for you. Your identity should not depend on your children's success. We like to hold our children up like trophies of, I don't know what, it's not of grace. Look what my kid did. And then you put the kid under more pressure to perform better and to go further and jump longer and whatever the case might be. Just be joyous in what they're able to do. Don't be frustrated with children being children. I want to say a word to moms here. I know this is a dad thing, but dads and moms too. You can take this. Your kids growing up here, we are a family. If they get noisy every now and then, they get noisy. All I say to you is be wise. Don't bring them to church and give them a rattle to pray with in the front row. Don't give them a rattle to play with at all. Give them a soft toy. Put a blanket down. Let them color in. But don't feel that because your kids like screaming and performing and making a noise, that it distracts me or distracts us. Just be wise. Help your children to grow. It is a season in your life. Where am I? Pray for and with your family, dads. Pray for your family. Number 8, invest in yourself, dad. What inspires you? Invest in yourself. What's challenging you? Well, I just like all the easy. No, get challenged. Come on. Stand up. Make sure you have time to be inspired. Well, my day's so busy. No, then you haven't organized your day well enough. If you don't know how to organize your day, see Jessica. She lives in another realm altogether. A good thing, yeah. Read your Bible. That's a good book to start with. And then read other stuff that might inspire you. Number 10, be accountable and responsible in your relationships. Who's mentoring you? Don't ask someone, speak into my life. And then when they do, you freak out because they told you the truth. And we thought this was hashtag truth time. Speak to someone, admit your weaknesses, and ask someone to challenge you and to help you. Why? Because I want to be better at this. I want to go higher in this. Isn't it the same level that you're calling your children to? I've just spoken all about that stuff. Number 11, we're nearly done. Love your wife. Well, that's so obvious to some. One of the greatest gifts a man can give his children is a father who loves his wife, who loves their mother. As Christ, I'm just ignoring you. As Christ loved the church, it's a sacrificial agape love. There's some direct challenges from Scripture on how we should love our wives. Don't lord it over your family. You're not the boss. Christ has made you the spiritual head. And in areas where your wife is smarter than you are, recognize that and go, babes, help us in this area. I would be a total mess and failure if it wasn't for this amazing woman. Because there are many areas she's way gifted and way smarter than I am. Amen. Thank you, Chris. See, these are the words of a faithful friend. Ay, ay, ay. Number 12, rely heavily on the Holy Spirit and your relationship with your Father. John 8:26, just what I have been claiming all along, Jesus replied, I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and who I have heard from him, I tell the world. Don't exasperate your children or your dogs We need to work on the areas God says are important. We need to learn as men to climb off our hobby horses. And then I've got a few minutes, so I'm going to take this opportunity. Mom's role in all of this fathering bit. She has so much more, but I just... Number one, wives, see how you can support your husband as dad. He is your leader as well. No, he's not. Yeah, he is. Help him to build trust with the children. Help him to establish the family. He's pulled you out the trenches. He's given you the family plan. Now let's plan this thing together. See your role as a co-leader, but recognize his authority. Allow him to make mistakes. Number two, realize that he may not always take all your advice. Hard-headed sometimes. Be willing to submit. There's the dirty word. It's a good word, actually, if you understand it in the Greek. Are you willing to submit when there's a disagreement? Present a constant and a consistent unified front to your children. Do not argue and debate in front of your kids. It doesn't help develop trust in mom or dad. Last point, don't try and take over as team leader if you feel he's doing a bad job. Now it's really quiet in here. This is when the men should be going, amen. Thank you. It's not a good enough reason. The Bible does not say, wives, submit to your husbands unless, or in your opinion, or in your thought pattern, or whatever, that they are doing a bad job. It says, trust him, even when you've been hurt, and vice versa, of course. Wives, don't manipulate your husband to get your will. Don't withhold affection. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 7, 4-6. You can go and look that up. Don't trick or train your husband to agree with you through argument. In most cases, women have a gift of discernment their husbands don't. It's true. She is like, shh. Some women don't, but that's also okay. But women often use this as a gift against him to manipulate him. Don't do that. Dads, use your frontline training to love, to lead, and to listen. Happy Father's Day.